I am preaching through the book of Revelation, which is the 66 books. So if you're new, you have to grab a Bible under the chair in front of you and find the last book in the Bible. So if you just open randomly to the last part of the Bible, hopefully you'll find Revelation in there. And we're at chapter 8. And if you're new, you're coming. I just want you to know that the book of Revelation is like, you know, it's end times type of stuff. It's horrible. It's God pouring out his judgment. I like preaching through books of the Bible, so we go back and forth, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament. I understand that the book of Revelation has not been preached here for like 20-some years at least. So though it's very tough, I'm just like, oh, just so much judgment and death and horrible stuff that the book of Revelation talks about. Now, I know the end of the story, so please hang in with us, okay? There's a surprise ending in the end of the Bible, all right? I'll give you a clue. It's good. There's a good ending. Let's review the book of Revelation before we get to chapter 8. In chapter 1, we get to see Jesus. In fact, we have the first physical description of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He was the one who died. But behold, he lives, and he lives forevermore, and he holds the keys of death and Hades. He then writes to seven angels over seven different types of churches. That's Revelation chapters 2 and 3. So there are seven different churches. He writes to the angels that are the guardian angels over the seven different types of churches. The first church was the church of Ephesus. They had lost their first love. Those are all the churches that have lost their first love. He tells that guardian angel, anytime you see a church that's lost its first love, here's the message you need to tell them. They need to repent. They need to do the things they did at first. And so forth, down to the last church, the church of Laodicea, which is the lukewarm church. That's the rich church. They have it all. Who needs God? So seven different type of churches, seven guardian angels. Chapter 4 and 5. I believe the church is raptured out to heaven, and the 7 years of tribulation begins. That's how long God is going to pour out his horrible judgment on the earth for rebelling against him and for all the sin of mankind and for all the killing of the believers. 7 years will be the length of the tribulation. In chapter 4 and 5, we have a scene up in heaven, what worship is like in heaven. So in the center throne, you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Around the throne, you have four living creatures or four beasts. I don't know what they are. They're not angels, though they have six wings, and angels probably have wings, but they've got four heads. They got the head of a lion, ox, man, and eagle, and they're around the throne, and day and night, they start the worship by going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. And when they start the worship, then there are 24 elders around them, 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament. They begin worship, and then every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth all worships the Lord. In chapter 4 and 5, in chapter 5, God the Father stands up, and he's got a scroll that's sealed with seven seals. That scroll is the beginning of the tribulation, the beginning of God's judgment. As Jesus comes forward and takes that scroll, and as Jesus breaks open each seal, judgment falls on the earth. So chapter 6 of Revelation is the breaking open of those of the first six seals. Seal 1 is broken, the Antichrist goes forward conquering. The Antichrist is this unbelievable guy that is satanically filled, inspired, who will become the worldwide leader by the middle of the tribulation. At 3.5 years into the 7 years tribulation, he will be the world leader. He will use war, that's talked about in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He'll use war, he'll use intrigue. That's the word that's used, by intrigue. I think of President Putin. He hits me as a man of intrigue, like sneaky. Doesn't he seem to be sneaky to you? I don't trust him. I don't know what politicians to trust, okay? But the Antichrist will be a man of intrigue. He is going to be someone who hates, like Hitler. Hitler had a hatred towards Jews that you cannot understand. Well, the Antichrist is going to be the same way, because during the tribulation, the Jewish people on whole will come to realize that Jesus is their Messiah. So the Antichrist will hate believers, and he's going to be just like Hitler was a type of Antichrist. He is going to hate all the Jews and want to put them to death. So seal one is the Antichrist. Seal two is a large sword where men start slaying one another. Seal three is famine. Seal four is war, plague, famine, and wild beasts that will kill 1/4 of the earth's population, 1.5 billion. Seal number five is all of the Christians that will be martyred and are up in heaven, who are all praying for God to bring vengeance for their blood. Seal six is there's this earthquake that shakes every island and every mountain from its foundation. Chapter seven, there's a break before we break seal number seven. Chapter seven is God sharing how he's going to seal 144,000 Jewish virgin men to be evangelists for Jesus Christ. They don't have time to get married. They don't have time to have kids because they're only going to live for about 3.5 years. Because at the middle of the tribulation, all 144,000 Jewish evangelists are all put to death and are all in heaven praising the Lord. So these 144,000 evangelists, they go out throughout the whole world, and they're very effective at sharing the gospel. Many people get saved, get martyred, and there's at the end of chapter 7, the Apostle John sees people from every nation, tribe, people group, language, all around the throne in heaven worshiping God. One of the elders said, "Hey, where do you think these people came from?" And John goes, "I don't know. Where are they from?" And he says, "These are all people that have been killed through the tribulation, that have been put to death by the Antichrist, just like Hitler killed 6 million Jews in 4 years. The Antichrist will kill millions and millions of Christians in the first 3.5 years of his reign." So I think that takes us now to chapter 8. Chapter 8, so let's start with chapter 8, verse 1. You're all caught up. So if you're new, now you can keep coming. I'll let you go home and catch up. You're allowed to read chapter 1 through 7. But you have to keep coming back now, okay? So chapter 8, verse 1, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." Now, just so you know, there are three sets of judgments that get poured out on the earth. The first one is the seven seals, which we pretty much are going through. The second set of judgments is the trumpets. That's what we're going to start today. And then the seven bowls comes in the second half of the tribulation. The seventh seal, when it is broken, opens up the way for the seven trumpets. Now, I have to tell you that some junior high kids went to a pastor and said, "Pastor, we are convinced that there are no girls in heaven." And the pastor says, "Well, how do you see that?" And they said, "Well, look in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, it says there's silence in heaven for about half an hour." So you know there can't be any girls up there. The pastor, I know, I'm going to get myself into trouble. The pastor said, "Then there are no pastors in heaven either, because we can't keep quiet for a half hour as well." So the seventh seal is broken, which is then going to reveal the seven trumpets. And it's so almost terrifying, so awe-stricken, that the four living creatures, they stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy." The elders who play harps, they're not playing harps. The angels who are always singing and flapping their wings, they're not saying nothing. There is silence when they're pondering what's about to happen, which is more judgment on the earth, and it steps it up another notch from the seals. The seals, one quarter of the earth is put to death. In the trumpets, one third of the earth will now be put to death. So by the end of the seals and the trumpets, over 50% of the population of the planet will be dead under God's judgment. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, the way John writes this, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, it almost sounds like we should know who these seven angels are that stand before God. And the answer is, we do know who these seven angels are. We believe these are the same seven angels that were the guardian angels over the seven different types of churches that stood in the presence of Jesus. And so now they're unemployed because, remember, the churches in heaven were raptured out before the tribulation. The angels are unemployed. And now God says, hey, I've got a new assignment for the seven angels that stand before me. You're not overseeing the churches anymore. You're now going to blow seven trumpets. Do you guys remember the story of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down? Each day they would march around the city. There was no talking. It was silent. And then the seventh day they march around seven times. And at the end of marching around seven times, there were seven priests who had seven, what? Trumpets. So Joshua says, go ahead and blow the trumpets. And so they blew the trumpets and everyone shouted. And what happened? The walls of Jericho came falling down under God's divine intervention. Well, some have said this is the same thing here. The trumpets are to announce God's warfare. And now God says these seven angels are going to blow their trumpets and the walls of the earth are going to come tumbling down. Verse 3. There was another angel who had a golden censer. He came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. I used to go to a church that they would burn incense. How many have ever gone to a church where they burn incense? And how did that incense smell to you? Good or horrible? Horrible. It was like, I don't know. I'd always be like, ooh, I would always pray, please don't bring that incense by me. Because it was just, oh, it was terrible. This is like this incense that goes up before God. And I have to believe it. I don't know how it smells. Maybe it is horrible, the incense. I don't know. But it's mixed with the prayers of the saints. And the only prayers of the saints that's been mentioned so far is in chapter 6, where the saints are praying, how long, O God, before you judge the earth for putting all of the believers to death? And so we believe that God is now going to answer. God never forgets our prayers, and he's going to answer the prayers. And so the angel takes some of that incense, and he throws it to the earth, like, okay, God is now going to bring judgment. So let's look at trumpet number 1. Verse 6, then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. A lot of people think this could be nuclear war. You'll notice there are three things that are being hurled to the earth. There's hail, there's fire, and there's blood that are coming down upon the earth. That burns up one-third of the earth, a third of all the trees, and all the grass. I want you to picture a city that a nuclear bomb strikes. And have you seen that huge mushroom that goes up after the bomb hits? I know this is horrible, but in that huge mushroom is all kinds of people that have just been blown up into smithereens. And it goes up into the atmosphere, and the atmosphere gets changed by the smoke. And so literally you can have hail coming down, you have fire coming down, and you have the blood of all the people coming back down, raining back down from that nuclear explosion. Not a pretty scene. You realize John wrote this 2,000 years ago and just was describing this awful scene of hail, fire, and blood coming down out of the sky. But of course, we know today from scientists that literally could be what happens. Now, I want to stop here for a second. I pray that the book of Revelation doesn't happen until after my children grow up and my grandchildren grow up and my great-grandchildren grow up. And are you with me? But there's another side that it may happen tomorrow. I don't know. All I know is it is scary that we seem to be getting closer and we literally can do exactly what is kind of described. Second trumpet, verse 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. Now, there's a different word for ocean, so we think the sea is the Mediterranean Sea. The Apostle John is writing this from the island of Patmos, which is in the Mediterranean Sea. So he sees something like a huge mountain all ablaze. So again, some people think, well, this could be a missile, a nuclear bomb that's going to hit the Mediterranean Sea. The Apostle John wouldn't know that. He's just describing, I see something huge, it's all ablaze, it hits the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and a third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So there's a third blood, a third of all the creatures in the Mediterranean Sea, and a third of all the ships are destroyed by whatever this blazing mountain is that hits the sea. Third trumpet, verse 10. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky. Now, I have to tell you that this is the first time, like in the second angel with this huge mountain all ablaze, that could be a missile, that could be whatever. But in the third angel, when John says a great star, we actually think that this truly is like a star, like a meteorite or a comet that comes and hits the earth. And interestingly enough, this week, NASA is working on some rocket that will be nuclear armed to send out in case some comet or meteorite gets too close to our planet, that it will hit it. It won't be able to destroy it, but it will be able to knock it off course so it won't crash into the earth. Just this week, that was in the news that that's what NASA is working on, one of their new projects. So this seems to be some star, some meteorite. It's blazing like a torch. It fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of this star is what? What's the name of it? Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Wormwood, it's bitter, but it's really poison. It is poisonous. Now, I want you to come with me. Don't lose Revelation, but come with me to Matthew chapter 27. So I had some thoughts about this wormwood. Whatever this is that strikes our planet, the poison from this meteorite poisons a third of the waters, and lots of people are dying from drinking this poisoned, bitter water. Another name for wormwood, by the way, other than poison, is and bitter, is gall, G-A-L-L. So I want to read something to you from the Old Testament, a prophecy from the Old Testament, and then I want to look at something in Matthew with you. So here's the prophecy in the Old Testament. So here's a prophecy. Look at this prophecy. Why has the land been ruined and laid waste like a desert that no one can cross? The Lord said, it is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. See, I will make this people eat bitter food, and then what? Wormwood, and drink poison water. That's the NIV. The King James Version says, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. So God prophesies as long ago in the Old Testament, I'm going to give people wormwood, gall, poison water to drink. Now come to Matthew chapter 27. Jesus is going to be hung on the cross. And I want to remind you of something. Here's the Son of God who never sinned, healing, answering prayer, blessing people. He only did good his whole life. We put him on the cross. Verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with what? With gall, with poison, bitterness, or wormwood. Now, there's two thoughts on why they put gall in his drink. One is that they were trying to be nice to him. And by giving him this poison, it would help him to die quicker on the cross. Okay? Like, we're going to help you. We're going to poison you on the cross. That kind of will make you die quicker. So the cross won't be as bad because you'll probably die of the poison first. That's one thought. So it was kind of a nicer gesture. The second thought is, oh, you're thirsty. Oh, well, we have some delicious wine here for you, Jesus. Put some gall in it. Put some wormwood in that. And they lift it up to him. Oh, you're here, thirsty Son of God. Have a drink. And when he tastes it, what does he do? He refuses it. As he's like, oh, is that what you're doing? Giving me poison gall to drink. Here I am dying, paying for the sins. And that's what you're going to do, humans. You're going to try to poison. You're going to give me bitter water to drink. So I cannot help but to think that God in this judgment and revelation is like, humans, it's my turn now. I've got some wormwood for you. You know how you tried to feed it to me when I was on the cross, suffering and hurting? I've got some wormwood for you that I even prophesied back in the Old Testament. All right, back in Revelation. So, fourth angel. Verse 12, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. So what's the three things that get struck in order? Sun, moon, stars. And a third, so a third of the daylight is affected, a third of the nighttime is affected by the moon, and a third of the stars you can't see. So one interpretation of this is the result of a nuclear holocaust. This is not from, I don't find this stuff in Christian commentaries. I just find this on the internet, on what the scientists say will happen if there's a nuclear war. So here is a summary of the consequences of a U.S.-Russian war that produces 150 million tons of smoke. 150 million tons of smoke from nuclear fires rises above cloud level into the stratosphere, where it quickly spreads around the world and forms a dense stratospheric cloud layer. The smoke will remain there for many years to block and absorb the sunlight. That's why we call it a nuclear winter. The smoke blocks up to 70% of the sunlight from reaching the Earth's surface in the northern hemisphere, and up to 35% of the sunlight is also blocked in the southern hemisphere. 150 million tons of smoke in the stratosphere would cause minimum daily temperatures in the largest agricultural regions of the northern hemisphere to drop below freezing for 1 to 3 years. Nightly killing frosts would occur and prevent food from growing. So there would be this thick smoke that would go around that would block the sunlight during the day, and it blocks the moon and the stars at night. Now, that's the end of chapter 8. There's some woes coming that go into chapter 9. That's next week. So I want to close with Luke chapter 21. Come to Luke chapter 21. So one idea is the reason why the light from the sun, moon, and stars is blocked by one-third is because of nuclear war. But another theory could be that God just does it himself. So let's see, Luke 21, the apostles are talking to him about what it's going to be like during the tribulation in the future. And Jesus says in verse 25, is everyone there, Luke 21? Starting in verse 25, Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, stars, exactly the same order, the same three things that John talked about. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexed at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So this one seems to imply that God literally shakes the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it's so frightening, because I think to the world, they look to the sun and the moon, the stars, to represent security and safety. And when God starts shaking his creation, strong men faint from the terror of what's going to happen. So I'm going to pick up Revelation chapter 9 next week. I did want to close with a closing thought. Last week, just this last week, there were five teenagers down in Florida from the ages of 14 to 18 who were walking along and saw a 31-year-old young man get into a pond and then not able to swim and began to drown, and he began to cry for help, and these five teenagers were watching. Now, how many have heard the story so far? Okay. And how many have not heard the story so far? Okay. And the state of Florida is perplexed what to do about it. You can check this on your smartphones after the service is over. Okay. So these five teenagers are witnessing this, and they are filming this on their phone, this guy drowning, and they're making fun of him, and they're not calling 911, they're not doing anything, they're calling him stupid, and you can watch it. I mean, oh, Facebook, great, let's post it, let's show everyone, and then they're like, oh yeah, look, he's dead, he's gone, he's over, and they left the family eventually. Hey, we don't know where our son is, and they find his body 3 days later. And of course, the state of Florida isn't sure what to do, because there's no law that you have to help someone when they're dying. So they didn't break any law. They just filmed it and made fun of it. So all week on TV, they've been getting all these psychiatrists on to talk about this. And the psychiatrists are all like, we are just seeing the beginning of what we've created. Now, I'll get back to that in a second. Let me give you my theory. So my theory is, what's the two greatest commandments? What's the first one? What's the greatest commandment Jesus says we should follow? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. I will claim to you that you have to follow the first commandment in order to be able to do the second commandment. The world is trying to say that, no, you don't have to have God, but you can still love your neighbor as yourself. We want that part. We just don't want the God part. But they're connected. They're connected. And so the world, in the United States, we've rejected God. One third of the young people in the country are now saying they're atheists. No God. And so I claim that the result of that is that they also do not love other people. And I'll even claim they don't even know how to love themselves either. Okay? So, these psychiatrists, of course, they're not saying it's anything to do with God. They're claiming that it's the TV shows. They said, do you realize how bad the TV shows are that all of these kids and these younger generation have been watching? Have you actually looked at the different TV shows on? If you haven't, I'm telling you, your eyes will be open. Go to the sitcoms and look at, there's shows about Lucifer and Satan and witches and warlocks and vampires and good or bad and bad or good. And you should see how they glorify sin and talk about every imaginable awful thing that your kids, our kids, have been watching now for like 10, 20 years. The psychiatrists on TV are saying, and they're not even Christians. They're like, oh man, the brainwashing that's gone on TV. And then they go, the video games that the kids now have been playing, the video games are horrible and killing, and it's desensitized all the teens, not all of them, but a huge amount, to death and killing and caring and loving and all this stuff. And they're like, those teenagers aren't unusual. They're just the tip of the iceberg of the culture that we created. Us older people, by allowing this garbage on TV, in the music, in the video games, on the internet, and we don't even check. We're not even watching what they're soaking in to their minds. Have you heard the new game out? What's it called? The Blue Whale game? The Blue Whale Challenge. So they get this on the internet. It gives them 40 challenges, these teens, 20-year-olds watch it, and the challenge is simple at first. But you know what the 40th challenge is? Take your life. And it takes them gradually, bit by bit. They don't even realize. They're listening to this person. They're being rewarded. They don't even realize what's happening to them until they come to the 40th challenge. And we allow it. We allow it. It's like, what has happened in the United States? So we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg that's coming, the wave of the future. And it's not pretty. Church, we've got the answer. We have the answer. It's Jesus. So let's close in worship.